Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture. Maestro is an Oscar-nominated movie Bradley Cooper's in, and I'm sure it's a perfect quality, well-done movie, but it looks a little boring. Honestly, I fell asleep during the billboard. Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Thank you so much to super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. I'm happy to be here. I'm going to be rolling with you for the next 4 hours. Look, if you had a bad day, I'm sorry. If your day has sucked, I'm sorry. If your day is going good, congratulations. Either way, for the next 4 hours, I'm going to have me a good time. And so if you want to be along for the ride, if you don't want the same old, the boring, here the hell I am. No problem with the proclamation. It's not that bold. The JR Sport Brief Show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. I don't know where you live, but go ahead and find it. We're available on Sirius XM channel 158 and also on a smart speaker. If you like technology, if you're not afraid of Alexa or Siri or Google or whatever the hell it is that you talk to, just get its attention and say, hey, play CBS Sports Radio. And boom, the JR Sport Brief Show will pop right the hell on up. So if you're in California, great. East Coast, great. Midwest, great. The mountains, awesome. Mexico, Canada, Hawaii, Alaska, Europe, excellent. Let's all come together and have a good old time. Let's be a community, okay, of people in their cars, people at work, people at home, and people doing things that they're not supposed to do. I'm not the police. I cannot rat you out, so don't worry about it. If you want to participate in the show, please don't call and admit to any crimes. The number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you utilize the internet, maybe you buy things. Maybe you shop more than you should. Maybe you buy too much food. Maybe you Uber Eats. Shout out to the Uber Eats delivery people. Never order too much food. You should get the free Odyssey app. As simple as that. And if you use the internet, you should also follow me. I'm online. I'm everywhere at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief every place on social media. We got a full show. Okay, you woke up this morning and found out that Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are going to have a fight. Congratulations, they're going to make money. It's a brand new circus in 2024. Hey, my good buddy, Eric Kelly. This man is a former Olympic-level boxer. Got into a fight, that is a damaged eye, and Olympic dreams went out the window. He was fighting at the Olympic Center. He knows all about a circus. Trains some of your favorite boxers and works with some of your favorite boxers, and he knows about a circus. We're going to ask him about this fight between Mike Tyson and a man 30 years his junior in Jake Paul. We'll get into that later on in the show. No need to discuss a freak show right now. It's too early for a freak show anyway. Don't have my dollar bills with me. Second of all, we know that we've had a lot of players getting cut. At this point in time, I need to really take a seat and take a deep dive as to who is still on the rosters for the, I don't know, the Buffalo Bills. There's no Jordan Poyer. And then also, I don't know, maybe I need to look at the roster of the Denver Broncos. There is no Justin Simmons. It's like they are saving and shaving money after some of the contracts that they've had to, dole out. And speaking of the Denver Broncos, later on in the show, we're going to have a conversation with someone who knows all about them. Brandon Cristall is going to join us. He's a sports anchor and reporter for KOA in Colorado. And how about this? You don't got to wait long for this one. In 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Matt Parrino. Make that 15 minutes. Matt Parrino is going to come through. And we're going to take a look at what's going on in Buffalo, not just Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White after his injuries. He's been chopped down. What's going on in Buffalo? Is Josh Allen? What's going on with his deal? So Matt Parrino is going to come through and give us those answers in about 15 minutes. Unfortunately, speaking of injuries, someone like Tre'Davious White, we learned that Carl Anthony Towns has a meniscus tear. The Minnesota Timberwolves are the number one team in the Western Conference right now, and let's see how long they can hold on to that spot without a jump shooting 7-foot man who knocks down more than 40% of his threes. It's going to be an adjustment. Get used to a whole hell of a lot more of Carl Anthony Towns on the bench and an elevation of Anthony Edwards. Ben Simmons, done for the year. What a shock. Did the year even start for Ben Simmons? Does Ben Simmons play basketball? Is Ben Simmons a basketball player, or is he just one of these basketball players who thinks he's a model, a fashionista, someone who dates Kardashians? So I don't know who the hell he dates. Either way, Ben Simmons is out for the season. We got a tight end who played for the Dallas Cowboys. He's now a member of the Texans. He says the Cowboys are a mess. The Texans, it's all about football. The Cowboys, it's all about a circus. We got a bunch of safeties that have been cut all over the NFL. Our safeties, the new running back. We're going to talk about that. This day in history, we had a quarterback legend retire. We'll talk about that to end the show. And so we have a lot to get into. In a few seconds, I guess this is one of the highlighted stories of today, is that Russell Wilson, he might be a Steeler. That progressed pretty quickly now, didn't it? But before we do anything, I have to ask our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, a very simple question. How the hell you doing, man? You good?
JR, yeah, I'm doing pretty good today. You know, I would love to be Ben Simmons to get paid millions of dollars, sit on the bench. But I guess on the other side, I'd definitely not rather be Jake Paul and have my face beat in by Mike Tyson in a few months for, you know, a few bucks as well. So I'm doing pretty well, all things considered.
Well, if you would like to be Ben Simmons, I could certainly kick you in the back. I mean, do you want back issues?
I mean, I got plenty of back issues ready. So now someone just has to put a basketball in my hands, I'll be ready to go.
Oh, you do you? So you really do need that massage I mentioned yesterday. That's sad.
I could use it. You know, the lower back. No, I mean, who has a good lower back? No one really does anymore. So
yeah, my back sucks.
Yeah, and you know, when you're like, young, too much lifting. Also, next you know, it's.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Do I need a new bed? Do I need to, you know, that's why in the studio I stand up. I don't sit down. I stand up because I don't need the compression on my spine, you know?
Smart. I mean, we are getting old, by the way. Talking about compression in the spine, but
yeah,
hey.
Well, listen, it's true. It's
no, you're not wrong.
Got to keep my discs separated. You know it's good. Anyway, we'll get into old, hurt-ass, young, injured, making money, sand on the sidelines in a neon suit of Ben Simmons later in the show. Well, the Brooklyn Nets are just a disaster, but we'll get there. Let's talk about another disaster. Let's talk about two disasters. This is like two ugly people making a beautiful child. Because things have been ugly recently for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then also, things have been pretty ugly for Russell Wilson anywhere, okay? We know things didn't end all that nicely for Russell Wilson with the Steelers, or excuse me, didn't end all that nicely with the Seahawks. Certainly didn't end nicely with the Broncos, unless you want to look at his bank account. And the Steelers, well, they've been looking for a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger finished up. It's crazy. He's only been gone 2 years. It feels like Ben Roethlisberger has been gone for an eternity. It's only been two seasons. And in those two seasons, things haven't been completely crap for the Steelers, okay? They went 9-8 the first year that he was gone. They went 10-7 last year after they wanted to fire Mike Tomlin after a losing streak. They still went to the playoffs, although they lost. And then the guy that they thought was going to be their savior, Kenny Pickett, well, he pretty much got benched. Got benched for Mason Rudolph, who is now also a free agent. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers have made it very clear over the past several seasons, not even the past several seasons, the past several weeks, the past several months, that, yeah, we're going to keep Kenny Pickett, and we want Kenny Pickett to compete. That things are not just going to be given to Kenny Pickett, but that he has to actually go out there and earn the starting job. And from Russell Wilson's perspective, Man, it was only a couple of weeks ago that he sat on the Pivot podcast, talked about his time basically coming to an end in Denver. It wasn't official that they were releasing him at that point in time. But Russell Wilson made it very clear, oh, well, I didn't do it in Seattle at the end, and it didn't work out in Denver. You know, it doesn't look like it's working out. Hey, on February 25th, Russell Wilson was just like, I want to win two more Super Bowls. Do you remember this?
I got more fire than ever, honestly, especially over the past 2 years of what I've gone through, whether if it's in Denver or somewhere else. I hope it's in Denver. You know, I hope I get to finish there. I committed there. I wanted to be there. You know, I want to be there. For me, it's about winning. Over the next 5 years, I want to win two. I want to feel the chill of that trophy again.
Ooh, wants to feel the chill of that trophy. Wants it tingling down his back. Wants it touching his spine. Listen, what better team than to do that, right? Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the most recognized and accomplished organizations, not just in the NFL, but in professional sports, period. This is an organization that has a record, tied for a record, 6 Super Bowl championships. This is a roster that's trying to get the best out of a George Pickens. This is a roster that looks at the running back position and says, man, we want someone reputable to run play action with Najee Harris. This is also a team and an organization that it's been talked about since Ben Roethlisberger left, that they don't have no organization, that they don't have a locker room leader, that they don't have somebody to lead the way. Well, isn't Russell Wilson that dude who walks around with a cape? Isn't Russell Wilson the guy who saves babies at night? Isn't Russell Wilson the guy who puts on a cape and, I don't know, does a single leap and a bound? I don't know, Superman, but you know what the hell I mean. Isn't Russell Wilson that guy? Possibly. I know Ben Roethlisberger, who also now has his own podcast, who doesn't have their own podcast. It was only a couple months ago that Ben Roethlisberger said, yeah, since I left, basically, the Steelers have no leadership. They need a locker room leader if the Steelers want to win. This is what Ben Roethlisberger had to say on Footballing with Ben. What a terrible name for a podcast, by the way.
Maybe the tradition of the Pittsburgh Steelers is done. Maybe it needs to be formed a new kind of way. I don't know. But you don't have it on offense right now, and it's just making it really hard. You're not seeing, in my opinion, the toughness on offense. And I say toughness in the sense of a Steeler toughness. Mm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with like okay, this guy's soft. Or like who's grabbing someone by the face mask and being like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
That's not what we do. That's not what we do.
Is that Russell Wilson? Is Russell Wilson going to grab somebody by the face mask and say, hey, this is not what we do. It's not the Steeler way. I don't think he can, right? You got to be there for a while. You have to earn the respect of the locker room. We know in Seattle, he didn't necessarily have the respect of the locker room. We know that, right? We got somebody like Marshawn Lynch who says, yeah, when I played for the team, I didn't even have Russell Wilson's number. Ouch. Here on this show a couple of weeks ago, KJ Wright, former linebacker on the Seattle Seahawks, he was right here on this show. KJ Wright said, yeah, Russell knows he could have done a better job interacting and ingratiating himself into the locker room. This ain't nothing new. And so, no, do I think Russell Wilson can join the Steelers and grab somebody by the helmet and go, this is not what we do. It's not the Steeler way. Hell no, he can't do that. But this could be a nice marriage, right? I told you about two ugly people getting together to make a pretty baby. The Steelers need a veteran quarterback. Russell Wilson needs a place where he can ply his trade. If I'm Russell Wilson, yeah, the Steelers would be attractive to me because, well, who's my competition? Kenny Pickett? I think at this point, even today, if you put Kenny Pickett in a room with Russell Wilson, if you take them out the room and put them on a practice field, hey, there's a good chance that at the end of the day, you're going to say, we're going to try Russell Wilson first, and then Kenny Pickett, you can just go out there and wait your turn. And for a team that's been trying to pick things up since Ben Roethlisberger walked away, or pretty much was told, walk away. Russell Wilson, he needs to turn things around. He needs a blank canvas. 11-19 with the Denver Broncos. This was supposed to be the man to turn things around. I guess Russell Wilson can be Mr. Fix-It for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me tell you this. With a defense led by T.J. Watt, if T.J. Watt is healthy, T.J. Watt will get you almost 20 sacks. Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to make you work. Joey Porter Jr. is going to cause havoc and raise hell in the outfield. They just need a quarterback, right? A calming influence. A quiet leader. And that might be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson continued on talking to the Pivot podcast. He was asked, this is before we knew that things were going to the crapper officially. He gave a very political answer. Hey, Russell, where the hell would you want to play outside of Denver?
In order, you know, the odds to get Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh Steelers is one, Las Vegas Raiders is two, Atlanta Falcons, three. How'd that be dope seeing y'all, UNC, back in Atlanta? That'd be crazy. New England Patriots, four. Let's stick with the top four.
I gotta go a place that we're gonna win again.
Right.
You know, that's what matters, you know?
Yeah, he can't. Well, for, I mean, negotiation purposes, he's not gonna, oh yeah, I wanna go to Atlanta. Not gonna do that. Stupid move, if he would have done that. Well, you know what? Me personally, I think Atlanta is the place. But for Russell Wilson, he's already going to be meeting with Pittsburgh next week. Pittsburgh, let's be real. If they have better options, would they take Kirk Cousins or would they take Russell Wilson? Both of these dudes got options. When it's time to get married, you actually have to connect with somebody who wants you just as bad. So in the case of Russell Wilson and the Steelers, this might be a perfect marriage of misery loves company. A match made in heaven? Could be. But initially, a match made in hell. They need each other. Atlanta, I feel, is a better spot. But Pittsburgh is not bad. But the Steelers, it looks like there's a little more traction there for Wilson than it is for Cousins. And Russell Wilson, he wants to get a job before he loses an option. Make it happen. Make Russell Wilson go to the Steelers. They want each other? Do it. I can't wait for that press conference. Hey, Hickey, you said he would say, what, Steelers country, let's weld? Like, what would he say?
That's a good one. I like it. Steelers Nation, let's weld. That has to be it.
Steelers Nation,
let's weld.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Congratulations. It doesn't look like Russell Wilson is going to be living out on the street. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about another quarterback. His name is Josh Allen. We'll talk about his entire team and everybody that they are releasing and redoing their contracts. We're going to have a conversation with beat reporter for the Buffalo Bills. His name is Matt Perino. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. So many quarterbacks. So many teams. So many teams wanting quarterbacks. But we also know there's so much movement. NFL free agency starts next week. And to talk about things from a Buffalo Bills perspective, who have been very active in releasing players and readjusting contracts, joining us right now is someone who knows all things about the Buffalo Bills, whether it's covering them with News for Buffalo, hosting the Shout podcast, his work following them for Syracuse.com. It's Matt Perino. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Listen, I'm living, breathing. I got no complaints. Now, there might be some Buffalo Bills fans complaining, maybe. There might be some players complaining. We know about Poyer. We know about the adjustment of Von Miller's contract. What's going on in Buffalo? What's the cap situation look like? What's the plan?
Yeah, so, I mean, this was kind of foreshadowed over the last month and a half since the season ended. I mean, when you go into an offseason – and you have about just under $50 million of cap space that you have to shed just to get cap compliant, there are some really tough decisions that go along with that. And so what we've seen over the last couple of days here is some franchise pillars. You know, the Bills have moved on from those folks. So Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morse, those are guys that have been Pro Bowlers, all pros. I mean, you talk about Tre'Davious White, he was a guy who was the first draft pick of Sean McDermott's tenure back in 2017. He's been an all-pro. He's been a really reliable guy, a really high-level guy, but he's had two season-ending injuries in the last three seasons. And I think at his current cap number that he was set to make this year, just about $17 million, they decided, you know, they're going to go in a different direction. They got really good young players at that position. They got a guy in Rasul Douglas who they traded for at the deadline last year. And so it's going to look a lot different. And listen, they got to build around Josh Allen. They got to get weapons for him. They got to continue to add to that offense. And I think Sean McDermott's strength is finding talent, developing that talent. I mean, that's what Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde were. When they brought them in as free agents back in 17, nobody in the league really wanted them. So they got to find those kinds of guys, low cap numbers, and add them and reshuffle the deck here.
Listen, Matt Parrino is joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Every year we can pencil the Buffalo Bills in at 10, 11, 12, 13 wins. It's almost a foregone conclusion. We know what happens when they get to the postseason. How are they going to not necessarily replace that talent, but are they expecting other players internally that we don't know about to step up? We know that they select late in the draft. They don't pick until 28. How are they going to maintain that level?
To me, I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs, like they have over the last 5-6 years, they've really set the blueprint for how to, you know, kind of, like I mentioned, reshuffle on the fly and then go out and really hit on players in the draft. If you notice earlier in the week, Brandon Bean sent Ryan Bates, one of their top depth offensive linemen, to the Chicago Bears for a fifth-round draft pick. They now have 11 going into the 2024 NFL draft, and that is a pivotal moment for this franchise. Brandon Bean has to find valuable players, probably a handful of starters. And if you go back to the Super Bowl for the Chiefs 2 years ago, after they moved on from Tyreek Hill, look at some of the players that really shined for them in that Super Bowl, especially on the defensive side. You think of guys like Trent McDuffie, who I think the Bills actually wanted in that draft a couple of years ago. You find a player like that, a difference maker in the draft, and that's how you replace guys that you've relied upon. And I think to your point of that question, let's talk about what hasn't happened for the Bills in this regime. They haven't gotten over the hump. So I think sometimes moving on from some of the players that have been a part of that heartbreak, maybe bringing in, you know, fresh perspectives on how to get this thing better. The Bills are going to have almost an entirely new defensive coaching staff going into this. They've promoted Bobby Babich. They have new position coaches all over the place. This is going to be a lot different. And, oh, by the way, they still have Josh Allen. And I will remain confident in their Super Bowl window being open as long as 17's on the roster.
Well, Matt Parrino knows everything about what's going on in Western New York. I want to get to Josh Allen. What is the temperature for the fan base right now of the Bills? Are they understanding of these moves? Are they kind of like what are we doing here? What's the temperature of the fan base?
You know, there's a healthy mix of understanding the business, I think. That's my perception based on what I've seen on social media. There's some emotions. I mean, these are guys that if you think about Bills football from 2000 to 2017 when they didn't make the playoffs in that entire stretch, there were a lot of bad teams and a lot of bad draft picks. And some of the guys that they've said goodbye to over the last couple of days have been guys that have helped, you know, rectify years of torment and torture in a lot of ways. And so I think there's an emotional part of that. But I also think it's a business. And I think that they know they have to get cap compliant. They have to make some room so that they can make some moves to add new players, because you do have to restock. This is an arms race. When you're trying to beat Patrick Mahomes, you have to continually, year after year, figure out different ways to beat them. And I think part of that is going to be with the weapons. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills try to trade up in the draft now with all the draft capital that they have, try to go get, a bona fide future number one wide receiver that can play that, like, co-star role with Stephon Diggs right now, because I know that's been a talking point. I don't think the Bills are moving on from Stephon Diggs. I still think he's an elite-level wide receiver, and I don't think you're in the business of getting rid of those players, especially with the dead money situation. So you add a weapon or two, you restock the shelves on defense, and you go at it again.
Matt Parrino here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. You talk about the defense. It was always shocking that Von Miller got a $120 million deal in 6 years given his age, and then he blew out his knee. No, I don't want to say a shock, but hey, what a big shock that was, right? Why the hell did they give him that amount of money, and what does the current restructuring of his deal mean?
So I didn't have a huge issue with the initial deal because if you go back and look at the terms, it was a three-year commitment in guaranteed money, right? So they could have gotten out of it after 3 years, which would have been this upcoming season would have been the last year. And whenever you have an ACL at this stage of his career, it complicates things. And so the problem that I had, the biggest issue that I had with what Brandon Bean did was he restructured the contract before last season, which I think put the Bills in the deep end of the pool with him a little bit longer and makes it a little bit more challenging to get out of it. I mean, the dead money that you'll look at over the next couple of years, it's pretty sizable. Even after next season, if they want to move on pre-June 1st, it's costly. I think it's somewhere around $20 million in dead cap. But go back to when they signed him. I mean, Von Miller was coming off of arguably one of the seven or eight game stretch, one of the best stretches to end a season for a pass rusher in league history. And then the performance in the Super Bowl, the way that he affected the passer and won that game in a lot of ways for the Rams, I think Brandon Bean was buying at that point. And also, Von Miller had 8 sacks in 9 games before he went down. He was what they paid for. But now they're banking on, with this restructured deal, it's bringing down the cap number for this year, which will allow them to do a little bit more and make it incentive-based. Von Miller's got to get back to that level to collect this money. And I think they're banking on 2 years removed from the injury, you'll start to see a little bit more signs of the player of old. But it's definitely still up in the air as to whether or not he can be that.
So, Matt, we all know Von was hopefully going to be the centerpiece of that defense, most certainly on that defensive line. The centerpiece of the team, as we all know, is Josh Allen. He's now making only $43 million a year. We see the guys who've jumped in front of him, the Joe Burrows of the world. What's Josh Allen's current standing with the team when it comes to the finances?
Yeah, so I think, right now the Bills, according to SpotTrack.com, who tracks the contract numbers and the finances, the Bills are a little bit still over the salary cap limit at about $7 million. If they restructure Allen's deal, that would give them about $23 million in cap relief and put them into the positive and give them some maneuverability. I mean, Allen's locked in long-term. I mean, I think they're going to probably restructure that deal. I think you could even see next season maybe them give him that new deal because right now it's amazing. Josh Allen, I think you make an argument, is the second-best quarterback in the NFL, and he's not even in the top 10 in AAV and average annual salary after a couple of the deals that we've seen handed out the last couple of years. Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert. So the Bills are going to want to get him back into that, the top tier and, maybe even in the same realm as Patrick Mahomes. But this is a big season coming up. I mean, this is, they've invested in their philosophy. They've invested in their own people and giving Joe Brady that promotion and then making him now the official offensive coordinator. They brought in a couple new coaches. I think you're going to see a couple new pieces in the offense, but it's always going to be, beat the Chiefs, get to the Super Bowl, or the season's a failure. And I'll tell you right now, Bills fans embrace that. They're enjoying that because the alternative was what they experienced for the 17 years before the guy got here.
Absolutely. Well, in your opinion, Matt, and this is a final question for you. We certainly don't know what the roster is going to look like come September, given the draft and free agency and what have you. But is there still that confidence from you that, hey, given what they've done over the past couple of days and what we've seen over the past few years, that they're going to get back into the playoffs and maybe still have a chance?
I mean, yeah, because if you look in their division, and to your point, there's, we don't know the full picture of what these teams are going to look like. I think the Patriots have a chance, if they do things right this offseason, to get into the mix and be at least a pest once again in this division. We'll see what Jerod Mayo does out there. But I have serious questions about, the sustainability of the models in Miami and New York. I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers coming off the injury, hasn't really played football in well over a season, and I don't even think you know what you're getting when he, you roll the balls out again. And then in Miami, I think Tyreek Hill's on a ticking clock. He's we haven't seen this drop off from him yet. But once that speed goes, like, what is he going to be, and what is that offense going to be? Are they going to pay Tua? We still haven't gotten an answer to that question. So I think with the Bills, Josh Allen and company, I think Kincaid is a nice young weapon. I think they got to get one in the draft. But I still think they're going to be a threat, and I think that Sean McDermott, with a couple of the guys that they developed this past year, Terrell Bernard, who was an upgrade over Tremaine Edmonds, their former first-round pick, nobody saw that coming. Christian Benford, a sixth-round pick, in his second season, was an absolute stud in December as a cornerback to help them win the AFC East. So those are guys coming back, and I think they can develop a few more of those guys on defense, and I still think they're going to be in the mix.
Hey, Matt, I think we're going to be having some cool conversations in a couple of months. Let's see what the Buffalo Bills continue to do. It seems like these contract restructurings are just the beginning. Let's see what they do in the draft. Hey, Matt, where can people follow you and all your work, my man?
Yeah, I'm at Matt Parrino, MattParrino, over on X, Twitter. That's the best place. We did a full one-hour podcast yesterday breaking down everything that happened with what everybody's calling Black Wednesday for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, it's a bright day for you, right? No Black Wednesday for you, a bright day, right?
Exactly. I'm in Orlando. Tomorrow's our last day at Disney World.
Well, listen, man, enjoy it. Say hello to Mickey Mouse. Does he still blink? He creeps me out with the blinking.
I don't know, man. Like, he doesn't blink, but, like, he's got a big smile on his face, and the kids are always loving it.
I saw a live-action mascot Mickey, and he looked at me, and his eyes blinked, and I said, okay, this is a little too much. So too realistic, this giant rat coming to say hello. Enjoy it, Matt. We'll talk to you down the line, okay?
All right, man. Take care.
No doubt about it. That Matt Parrino, beat reporter for the Buffalo Bills, enjoying some good old time down at Disney. Good for him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not joking. That rat out there, he blinks. Hickey, have you ever been down there to Disney World, Land, whatever it is you've been there?
I have, but it's been like over a decade since the last time I've been down there.
Oh, my God. Hey, Ack, have you been down there to see Mickey Mouse?
Not since 1998.
Yeah, I think I was last there, I don't know, in 2012. And Mickey Mouse, I see mascots all the time. I work in sports, right? I don't expect him to blink. Maybe something comes out of his eyes. Maybe his hat flies off. I don't know. Mickey Mouse came over, and he shook my hand, and he blinked. And I said, whoa.
He had something in his eye.
He blinked a couple of times. I'm like, wow, the mascots are so damn realistic. They blink. My apologies. I guess Mickey Mouse is not a mascot. He's a global icon, whatever he is. He's a little too realistic.
He's still a mascot, though, technically, isn't he?
You go tell Mickey Mouse that he's a mascot. He might hit you. I'm sure Mickey Mouse probably thinks he's better than Mr. Met. I don't know. Who else is out there?
Philly Fanatic.
The Phoenix Suns Gorilla. Like,
yeah. Is Yuppie still out there?
Who?
Yuppie, he was the Expos mascot.
Well, why would he exist? No, they probably buried him in Montreal. Hell no. They got the presidents that run the race now, you know?
Yeah, that too.
In the outfield. Yeah, if you line all of them up, Mickey Mouse stands out. He's like, listen, I'm the one who got the money. Hey, Mr. Met, Phoenix Sun, you cannot carry my bags. It's all about Mickey Mouse. It's good stuff.
Maybe that's why he blinks.
Why? Because he got to count the money?
Exactly.
They should put dollar signs in place of his pupils. That would be more appropriate. Congratulations, Mickey Mouse.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much to Matt Parrino for joining us on the last break. Talked about the Buffalo Bills. They are certainly going through some changes. Jordan Poyer is gone. Tre'Davious White is gone. Von Miller's contract gets readjusted. Matt Morse on the line is gone. It's just, it's going to be a new day for the Buffalo Bills. They need some younger players to step up. They're trying to get them on the cheap. Yeah, you know you want to readjust the contract of Josh Allen. We know that every team is going to have about $30 million extra in cap space with the new budget for this upcoming season. So the Buffalo Bills going through some changes. Matt brought up an excellent point. Let's still keep in mind where the hell they play in the AFC East. The New York Jets are prone to being a train wreck. I think we learned the lesson. Is it bound to happen again the same way? Maybe not, but it took four plays for Aaron Rodgers to be done for the season. It took some cold weather for the Miami Dolphins to be done. And we know the New England Patriots, well, New England Patriots are looking for a quarterback, and they have a brand new head coach. And speaking of the weather, we'll talk a little bit more about this later in the show. Hickey, did you see out in Kansas City from that Dolphins game where it was like the fourth coldest game in NFL history? I know that fans had to be taken to the hospital because, well, it frostbite, it was cold, and limbs getting numb. Did you hear that some of these individuals are going to have a couple of limbs amputated?
I did hear that recently, and I am shocked and horrified at the same time.
What are you shocked about? Oh.
No, yes. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm tougher than Mother Nature. That's not what I'm trying to do here.
All right.
But it's like you did see, I mean, football players standing out there with no sleeves on, like -4 sounds bad. But it's like at a point, it's like, is it really that cold? Or is it like, I'll put it this way. Is your life really in danger by being outside in the cold for 3 hours? I had my doubts. Not that people are dying, thankfully.
What?
What?
You live in New York. You've never been cold in your life?
Oh, I've been freezing. But it's like to the point where it's like bad for my health. I thought that was a little overblown.
Oh.
that it's cold. Like it's cold. We get it.
Bro.
But like when they're talking, they were hyping this storm up a few months ago about like, you know, basically stay inside. It's not safe to be outside. I'll be honest, JR. I rolled my eyes. I don't even think of a deal.
What are you like? Is your body temperature 200 degrees? Like
no, and I get
cold
easily.
Mr. Inferno?
I would have, but if like I was a Chiefs fan, I think honestly I would have been excited to go to the game. Because it's like one of those, like, oh, they're talking about the weather, like this is going to be a kind of cool to experience. Like I would have been more excited to be outside and see how cold it is versus take what the experts say and stay inside.
You know what? Let's listen. We'll talk about this more later on the show. But let's listen to Fox 4 News. This is out in Kansas City. They're talking about Chiefs fans that need body parts amputated because they were outside in that freezing cold weather when the Chiefs beat the Dolphins on that Saturday night. Listen to this.
The medical director here at Grossman Burns Center says 70% of the patients that she saw for frostbite after that bitter cold are now having to schedule amputations. Garcia told us in January she'd already seen dozens of frostbite patients, many of those Chiefs fans who attended the playoff game where it was -4 and a wind chill of -27 at kickoff.
Patients who had their frostbite injuries during that cold snap that we had along with the Chiefs game, they're just now getting to the point where we are starting to discuss their amputations that might be necessary.
And for the estimated 30% lucky enough to avoid amputation after undergoing treatment the past few weeks in hyperbaric oxygen tanks,
is still a lifelong process. They will have sensitivity and pain typically for the rest of their lives and will always be more susceptible to frostbite in the future.
Oh, Hickey, what? You never took a biology class? Like, you know, like the limbs are further away from the heart. It takes the blood. It's prone to get colder and freeze fast. And the cells die, man. They die.
I'm glad I didn't take the challenge. Let's just say, and stand out there for the game.
You did it, yeah.
You would have thought, you would have assumed.
What?
Gloves, hand warmers inside the gloves. Maybe you put the gloves or you take your hands, put them in your pockets of the jacket, and you would have been fine. That was my assumption. Clearly,
no.
I mean, unless these idiots are out there barehanded, which maybe.
It's possible. You know, I wonder how much alcohol played a role in any of this because, you know, you drink alcohol. Sometimes you feel a little warmer. But this is like, think about it. I don't know how to explain it. Like, we as human beings, think about one single human being who just steps outside. We're like little specks of microscopic dust in comparison to the earth, right? Makes sense, right?
Yes.
Imagine this tiny piece goes outside where you can die. Like the fact that you got to put a hat and scarf and gloves on, I think says enough. There's a reason why you're doing it because literally it can kill you. And so to stand outside, this little speck of what, I don't know, 98 degrees of speck is outside in temperatures that feel like -30. Like, who's going to win, the speck or the atmosphere? The atmosphere is going to whoop your ass. Your fingers have never gone numb?
No, they have, like, especially in the snow. Like, again, they've been cold. Don't get me wrong. But
that's what that is.
But, like, also, when my hands have gone numb, it's in large part when I'm not wearing gloves, when I'm not prepared.
Yeah, but
I would have assumed in this case, if you're going to go out in record cold and dangerously cold weather, you'd be prepared.
Maybe. And maybe they were.
But there
comes a point in time where it's just like, if you're standing out there on a cold concrete slab for 3 hours, like, there's only but so much that you're going to be kept warm. Like, you have to feel the heat. You're outside. You're not in a cocoon. It only lasts but for so long. It's one thing to walk from your car to the house. It's one thing to walk around the block and go, oh, my God, it's cold. You've never, like, for instance, have you ever been so cold that you walk into a building that is warm and, like, 30, 40 minutes later, you are still freezing cold?
I've been chilled down to the bone. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it happened. So maybe they were prepared. I'm sure maybe there's a mix. There are people wearing gloves. Now they have no fingers. I mean, maybe there was somebody who was like, hey, I ain't wearing gloves, and now he has no fingers. This is why in these cases, like, I'm staying home, man. I ain't going to the game. Like, how much do you love the Kansas? These people can literally walk around and say, I love the Kansas City Chiefs so much that I've risked and lost a limb, and I could have lost life. Are the Chiefs going to give them, like, season tickets forever?
I mean, I think maybe not forever, but maybe, you know, a complimentary game.
They can stay in the owner's suite, that mansion that he built upstairs.
Hey, plenty of room. Plenty of room for those people that lost limbs, unfortunately. So I think that's only right.
Hey, you lost limb rooting for the Chiefs. So what we're going to do is give you some tickets to our mansion. Yeah, not happening. They already said this guy is stingy. That's not happening. What's his name? Graham Hunt something?
Clark Hunt.
Clark Hunt. He's stingy. You know, he won't even fix the locker rooms for his own players.
Good point. I don't think that free ticket is coming anytime soon.
It's probably like, who gives a damn about Bobby's leg? Thank you for your money. Cheap, you know what? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about injured NBA players like Ben Simmons' back and Karl Anthony Towns' knee. Don't move.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.